You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Doing? What's up, everybody? It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics planned out, but sometimes we do go off the beaten path and we'll take a risk. Why not? We'll go into uncharted territories.
Yes. We're like explorers.
Yes.
In that regard.
Yes. Explorers that will tackle the meal for your mind. It is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for joining us this week. So I guess the first thing we should mention is probably a programming note. This is our first episode in 2 weeks because we had a unscheduled snowstorm that hit at like the perfect time. Usually we record Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
And last week there was a nor'easter that hit Tuesday night going into Wednesday.
Yeah, it was.
You couldn't have timed it any better.
It was the perfect storm, if you will.
Yes, exactly.
And it was bad.
It was.
I mean, it was pretty nasty.
It was,
from what I remember.
Because
it was a while ago now.
No, I mean it was one of those storms that when it came down, it was stay where you are. Don't move. Don't do anything. Almost blizzard-like.
Yes.
Because it fell really fast, too. That was another thing, too.
It was falling, like, sideways.
Yeah, snowing sideways. Yeah. But like I said, it just hit at, like, that perfect time when we usually record. So we couldn't get out an episode last week. So our apologies. But here we are, recording number 251, ready to go. So, Mike, have you been in the last 2 weeks as opposed to the regular week interval?
Good. I don't know what I've really done other than tried to weather the storm.
You lost power, right?
We did lose power, yes, and we lost power for basically 24 hours straight.
Yeah, how did you handle that?
I mean, it was fine. We've been without power before. You know, it's not a biggie, but it was one of those things where it was really obnoxious because I think this was we've had a couple of storms the past 2 weeks. So they all start to run together.
They're all starting to blend together.
But we lost power, I think, during the weekend storm. Like that storm that hit, I think it was like Friday, right?
Yeah.
There was one storm that hit Friday.
Right. There was one that hit Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the one that knocked out like hundreds of thousands of people's power.
Yeah.
And it sucked because I think I was working from home that day, or I left early and was working from home, and I finished working. And the power went out like 20 minutes after I finished. So it was like, oh, I'm finished. I can go sit down and relax. And everything shuts off. So that kind of sucked. And you don't really realize how much you're dependent on things until you can't use your phone for anything. Because it wasn't just that our power was out, but in Ambler, you couldn't get a cell signal at all. So I had to like leave Ambler to be able to use my cell phone. Like texting.
Yeah, it was almost like apocalypse.
It really, this is such a first world problem.
Yeah, it
thing.
Is.
I realize that as I'm saying it, I'm like, wow, you sound like an ass. But that's, you know, that's the world we live in.
No, I think a lot of people felt that way. I mean, a lot of things rely on power now.
It does,
and batteries and everything like that. Yeah, it sucks when the power goes out.
Yeah, and you don't realize how dependent you are until you lose that stuff. At one point, I think it was after the roads had been cleared a little bit, I was just doing laps around Ambler charging people's phones in my car. I think it was like two or three phones plugged into various ports in my car, and I was just driving around the block getting them to charge up because everybody needed their phones to call people and get in touch with people and call Pico and, you know, that sort of stuff. It was a pain. It was terrible.
My mom told me that she lost power. And she drove to the local McDonald's and it was a madhouse.
Yeah, it was probably mom.
Everybody was just trying to plug in their phones.
Yeah.
And it was she said somebody brought like all of their electronic equipment.
I believe it.
Laptop, tablet, and she, like, was hogging up like a whole section of the outlets.
I completely believe it. Like I just said, I was driving around town with the sole purpose of charging phones.
Yeah.
So I believe it. I didn't think that I could go somewhere and sit down.
Well, no, it's funny you did that too, because we also had people in our neighborhood who walked out to their car just so they could charge their phones.
But the thing is, all of Ambler was shut down. There was only one place in all of Ambler that had power.
Ambler didn't survive.
No, it did not. The lights were out. Like, the intersections were treacherous because the lights were out and the road conditions were bad. I mean, you had to go all the way to Plymouth Meeting to find someplace that had power.
Ooh.
I know it sounds like far away. No, but I mean, like, it's a hassle to, like, trying to find someplace that is open and, like, serving food or... That has power to charge.
That has
something.
Power. That's really
yeah.
key.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what they serve. Do they have power? Yes.
Well, no,
right,
because when the electricity goes out, it's like, oh, crap. We don't have any food that we can prepare, you know?
Yep.
It's like all these things you don't think of.
Right.
Anyway, that's boring.
Well, hopefully that's the end of the storms. That should be it. We're about to hit
New England just got hit.
Yeah, New England just got hit. But we're entering the middle of May, so hopefully we're coming out
March.
Of a winter and...
May.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, sorry, I'm looking.
Whoa! Calm down, Rich. Calm down.
Sorry, middle of March is what
the
I meant.
Middle
to say.
Of May. I was like, wait, what?
Sorry, I meant to say middle of March. You know what it is? Is I'm looking forward to some concerts I'm going to in May. So,
that's what it
is.
Yeah,
I got some, including one of my favorite bands, Ghost.
Your favorite band,
yes,
probably right,
right.
now.
Yeah, so I'm excited for May. Sorry, I meant to say the middle of March. Is what I meant to say. Because we're going to talk about March Madness in the Sports Sampler.
Yay.
We'll get to that
Can't
in a little bit.
Can't you tell how excited I am?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. When the power came back on, was there any movies or TV that you caught up on?
God, I don't even remember, Rich. This is terrible. I know, recently I watched Coco, the newer Pixar movie. That was really good. I really enjoyed it.
You're a big Pixar fan.
I am a big Pixar fan. It's not one that I was looking forward to, but I really enjoyed that one. But we'll talk about that more in the entertainment entree probably.
Okay.
But no, I honest to God, I cannot remember a single thing that happened during the storm. What about you? I think you had a much more eventful storm weekend than I did.
Yeah, I had a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
I got stuck in the Poconos. That was one thing.
Going to the Poconos during a blizzard.
Seems
like a risky endeavor.
Yeah, it might not have been one of my sanest ideas. But
how did that turn out?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. But I definitely did not plan on staying there an extra day because we had to.
Yeah,
they closed down
travel conditions.
Yeah, they actually closed down 476 up that way.
You were telling me this story about how you got onto 476, right? And there was just a sign.
Yeah, so the blizzard got really really bad, so we tried to get out of there as early as we could.
You're supposed to leave before the apocalypse. Haven't you ever watched a disaster movie?
Yeah, no, we're going to die. If I'm ever in charge of the group, we're going to die. I am not a Rick Grimes. I am not a Negan.
You're like, let's just wait it out.
It'll be fine, right?
It'll be fine.
So, it started to come down, so our group tried to skedaddle out of the Poconos, but we made it to the toll booth, and then there was just a big sign that said, turn around. That was it. It was like, ooh.
That is super ominous.
Right. They're not even giving you a reason. It was just turn around.
That's like Walking Dead ominous.
Right. So we regrouped at a Wawa, and that's when we heard from a local cop that there was a 20-car pileup on 476.
Oh.
In addition to the blizzards, they're just like, it's not happening.
Yeah, you're just not getting through that.
Yeah, so we luckily caught a hotel and just stayed another night. But yeah,
that's all you really can do.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on that. Just kind of happened. And luckily, it didn't prevent me from going to see our friends over at Ghoul PC. They had their show at the Trocadero.
Because
it was like, it was back to back. It was like that snowstorm, Poconos, and then all of a sudden, time for Ghoul PC at the Trocadero. And they did a great job, as always, representing Ghost. But also just a great, they're just a great band of musicians. They're great. They perform well. They perform music well. for the fans and listening to it is great, but also visually they put on the show as well, all the costumes and they have their own Papa that comes out with their mask and the mitre and the whole. They even had a the incense thing.
Okay,
I don't know what you call it.
We're older boys. We're older boys. I forgot what the hell they called it.
I just called it the incense thing.
The incense thing. Yeah,
it doesn't have a name.
I think it does. I have to. The Catholic Church names everything. There's got to be a name for the thing where they.
It's the sacred incense ball.
Yeah, sacred incense ball.
Thurible?
Sure.
I look up incense thing.
Incense thing. Yay!
And it's the picture of the little like brass globe at the end of a string at the end of a metal chain.
Yeah,
right? Thurible.
Thurible.
That's
so
what Wikipedia says.
I'll believe it. Thank you, Wikipedia. Sure. So they had their own. Thurible like that, and yeah, it was great. It was a great concert, and we got to give him a shout out for hooking us up with the free passes that we could give out to people for our 250th episode. So
yeah.
Shout out to those guys, Ghoul BC. They're actually hitting the road. They're actually getting
really,
yeah. They're getting the name out. They have I think a gig in Connecticut and another gig in New York.
Wow,
so yeah,
that's
they're
pretty cool.
They're hitting the They
see, we launched them.
We
to
launched,
fame.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
We were the genesis.
That's right.
Behind Ghoul BC. No, that's
pretty cool though that they're able to do something that they love and take it on the road and get enough of a following that they're able to do that.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
So shout out to those guys. They're cool, and thank them. Thank you guys for hooking us up with the tickets for our 250th episode. We want to hear more from Ghoul BC in the future. But for now, I think we shall go into the first segment of our show. We've got a lot of sports news to cover, so it's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face here. And it's time for a quick hit of news topics in 2 minutes or less. It's time for the two-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, start the clock and go, Mike. What do you got?
All right, first up in the two-minute drill, we have a little bit of Philadelphia Phillies news. The Phillies signed 32-year-old starting pitcher Jake Arrieta to a 3-year, $75 million contract. He's projected to join Aaron Nola in the rotation. Nola and Arrieta could be a formidable 1-2 pitching punch for the Phillies this season. Rich, is this sort of a return to the type of pitching rotation we had back in the glory days of Roy Halladay and Flippley and all them? Yeah,
probably not the big four standing, but I'll tell you what, this definitely brings some much needed optimism to the Phillies team, because I feel like the Eagles just won the Super Bowl, the Flyers were on a hot streak, the Sixers are around like fifth or sixth place in the standings. Like, there's good news for all the Philadelphia teams except the Phillies, and I think the Phillies finally just needed to like get something good going for him. So they picked up this big free agent, Jake Arrieta, part of the Cubs World Series team. So he's got the pedigree. The question is, at 32, can he stay healthy? I hope so.
Now, what is the lifespan of a pitcher usually?
Depends on how healthy his arm is. If he can go into mid-30s.
All right. Well, hopefully he can at least play out the contract that they signed him to.
Yeah.
Speaking of playing out contracts, though, oh boy. We sure hope that this player can live up to his. Former Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins signed an absolutely monster contract with the Minnesota Vikings. It is a 3-year, $84 million contract, which is fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed.
This is big for the NFL. It's the first fully guaranteed contract that any team has ever done.
Especially for a quarterback contract of this size. This is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm of the opinion that he's not really worth it. He hasn't won many games, but we'll see.
I guess Mike doesn't like that.
Isn't that his line?
His line was, yeah, you like that?
You like that?
You
no,
like
I
that?
Don't.
Yeah, Mike doesn't like it.
Let me ramble about Kirk Cousins for a second, okay?
Okay, he needs to get this off his chest.
I do, got it. This could have been a What's Pissing Me Off segment. Kirk Cousins.
Can I make it a What's...
Are you able to do that right now?
Yes, if you can give me like a quick minute.
All right. So, well, I was going to talk about Kirk Cousins, but now I have to vamp for a minute on something that's not Kirk Cousins. So instead, I'm going to talk about things that I see in the room.
Okay, wait, here we go. No, never mind. Okay. So here you go, Mike. It's time. You want to get this off your chest, Mike? We're going to make it an official segment. What's pissing me off?
It's Alabama left and Alabama right. Come on, you let me get your right step right. Get off stage, goddamn goof, you know. Piss me off. F***ing jerk. Get on my nerves.
All right, Mike. Time for your official what's pissing you off.
Okay. Kirk Cousins pisses me off because when you think quarterback in the NFL, you're supposed to think about a leader who's there for the team, that puts the team on his back, that does whatever he can to shoulder the responsibility and win games for your team, for your city, for your fans. Kirk Cousins has not done that once while he's with the Redskins. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that he's been with the Redskins for, I think it's 7-8 years, and he's put up numbers, but that's all he's done. He hasn't had many above 500 seasons, and for the past several years in a row, he has not been able to come to an agreement with the Redskins on a long-term contract because he doesn't want to play there. It's obvious that he doesn't want to play there. He doesn't care. So what does that do for the culture, for the environment of your team, if your quarterback, your leader, doesn't want to play there, doesn't want to give it his all? Yes, he's putting up the numbers, but he's not really there mentally for the team. And that is evidenced even further by the fact that when he made his farewell address, he tagged the Jets and the Vikings in it. Are you kidding me? That is the most blatant way he can say, I'm done with the Redskins. I never cared about you. I am more interested in getting paid than winning games. So I think Kirk Cousins is a tool. I think that he is dramatically overrated because, like I said, he's had good offensive weapons. Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson at the same time. And he puts up numbers, but he can't win games. He puts up numbers, but not enough to win. It's insane. And we've had some years where the NFC East wasn't very good, and he still couldn't get it done. This is a quarterback that can give you the regular season stats, but can't do it when it's needed. Now, the Vikings got rid of 3 starting caliber quarterbacks to sell the farm in order to sign this guy. If it doesn't pan out, this is going to be a huge mistake for them because that is $84 million that they have on the books that they cannot move unless they try to trade him. And no team is going to take that contract.
Other than the Browns.
Other than the Browns, yeah. I feel bad for the Vikings because they had a good thing with Case Keenum and they just gave it all up to sign the biggest meathead jerk tool bag in the entire NFL. You're telling me he wasn't gaming the system, that he was just writing in for the Redskins the past 2 years to collect those fat $30 million
franchise tag
seasons?
I would say personally the Redskins definitely owe some blame in that though. They did not handle him right.
They're not a great franchise, but you're telling me that he's completely absolved of it? That he's just like, I don't want to sign with you. Can you imagine trying to play with a person like that? Could you imagine trying to work with a person like that where they're just like, no, don't care. Don't want to be here. Give me my money. Like that just bugs me. It bothers me to my core that he exuded that type of attitude with the Washington Redskins.
Okay. So there you go. Mike is pissed off.
Pissing
at
me off.
Kirk Cousins. For getting $84 million over 3 years, fully guaranteed from the Vikings.
It's insanity. Not only that, but he's completely ruining the quarterback market. I mean, what are we going to have to pay Carson Wentz in a year, 2 years?
It's going
to be a $200 million contract.
It's
going
to be crazy whenever that's due.
It's a bubble that's going to burst because, there's other free agent signs. Malcolm Butler for $60-some million. The dude sat out of the Super Bowl. You can't even get a starting role in the Super Bowl, and you're getting $60 million? It's just lunacy.
Yep.
Drew Brees, 2 years, $50 million. What are the Saints thinking? The dude's ready to retire, and they're like, we're just going to give you $50 million and over the course of 2 years. They're hindering their future success. And this is all led by Kirk Cousins and the stupid circus he created around his free agent signing. You know, people that hated LeBron James for what he did should place the same amount of hatred towards Kirk Cousins for the way that he created a circus, tagging teams in his farewell address to his former team. That is even worse than the stupid decision program, okay? Because he doesn't even have the balls to make a whole big spectacle of it. He just does it on the sly. He's like, oh, by the way, Hashtag Jets. Hashtag Vikings. Come sign me. He's like a little, oh, he's so, can you tell me you're not frustrated at that?
I didn't think you were this frustrated. So
I didn't realize I was either.
So my athlete that I love to hate is LeBron James. Your athlete that you love to hate is going to be Kirk Cousins now.
But don't you see a similarity, an ounce of similarity there?
Yeah, I can.
Like, didn't he jump out on the Redskins, abandon the Redskins to go sign with the Vikings on the verge of a Super Bowl? It's the same narrative. He should get the same amount of hate as LeBron James, if not more, because LeBron James didn't actively tag people in his farewell address.
I would say, though, LeBron James, though, was way too...
Because LeBron James is better than Kirk Cousins at his sport.
Okay, I guess, yeah, but still, like, LeBron James was way too crazy about the whole decision and all that stuff. I would say that's the difference.
He donated the money to charity. I'll just say that.
Okay, whatever. All right,
Kirk Cousins wouldn't donate a dime to charity because he's been milking the Redskins' cash cow for the past three seasons. He just killed their franchise by forcing them to give him $30 million for 2 years straight.
Well, I think that's a problem with the Redskins more than Kirk Cousins.
It's a problem with all of them. Both of them are terrible. Hate the Redskins. I hate Cousins. I didn't even realize I hated them this much.
You're like, you're about to get a headache now.
I am. I'm like holding my head. Sorry, what are you gonna say?
How about let's make things better? Let's talk about the Eagles, because the Eagles made some moves.
Yes, they did.
Here's the list of stuff that they've done as of the time of this recording. The Eagles got defensive end Michael Bennett from the Seahawks and a 7th-round pick after they traded away young wide receiver Marcus Johnson and a 5th-round pick. So that's crazy. We somehow got some value out of cuttable wide receiver Torrey Smith. We traded with the Panthers, somehow got 23-year-old nickel cornerback Darryl Worley, who could blossom into a star quarterback of his own. And then the Eagles went out and signed 34-year-old defensive tackle, how do you say his name?
Haloti Ngata,
yes, there we go. And 25-year-old linebacker Corey Nelson. Unfortunately, though, they did have some cap casualties already. They cut tight end favorite player, 11-year veteran Brent Celek, and we lost Trey Burton already to free agency, and we're probably going to lose some more players as well as free agency starts. So what jumps at you? What do you like? What do you dislike?
Well, the Eagles have been pretty active, but not active in the way that I want to see them be active. For me, the priority this offseason was retaining Nigel Bradham, retaining Patrick Robinson, and restructuring Brandon Graham. And they haven't done those three things, which is kind of worrying me. Right, yet.
There's time.
There's time. There is time. But the moves that they have made have all been sort of jaw-dropping moves. I mean, they go out and they sign Michael Bennett, who, for all intents and purposes, is a jerk, but one of the best defensive ends in the game. And they did it for basically nothing. I mean, they gave up a guy who wasn't going to make the roster and a 5th-round pick. Howie Roseman has his ability to just sell anything to anyone. As I saw, I read a comment online. Somebody said, Howie Roseman is the guy standing with his lunch next to a trash can getting ready to throw it out. Somebody walks up and he's able to sell it to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, that scenario is more appropriate with Torrey Smith.
Yeah.
We were definitely going to cut Torrey Smith. He was not going to be on the payroll for $5 million.
And we were just able to trade him for a young corner. I mean, even if Worley doesn't, pan out, that's still incredible value.
Yeah.
You're moving $5 million off of your cap and you're picking up a young potential starting corner for I think it's like $700,000,
$800,000.
Yeah, he's on his rookie contract still. Yeah, that's just insane. And then further bolstering the defense, signing veteran Haloti Ngata. I mean, that's a name that everybody remembers from his time with the Ravens. He was a force back then.
Yep, 1 year contract.
Yeah, 1 year contract. Hey, that's all we need to win another one, right?
Yeah.
This defensive line though is just utterly ridiculous right now. Now, of course, people are going to be moving around. But as it stands right now, if you look at this line, you have at defensive end Brandon Graham, Vinny Curry, Derek Barnett, and Michael Bennett.
Yep. Though Vinny Curry's not going to.
Vinny Curry won't. That's what I said as of right now. But Vinny Curry will probably move. People are saying Brandon Graham might move too. We'll see. But then in the middle, got Haloti Ngata and Fletcher Cox. And Bennett has the potential to play in the middle, too, because he can go inside, outside. But this defensive line is just completely stacked. Oh, and Tim Jernigan. How can I forget
him? Yeah, good old Timothy Jernigan.
I mean, this line, if it wasn't good enough, is now even better. And it's obvious the Eagles want to continue focusing on it because it makes the rest of the defense that much better. You don't need to have shutdown corners if you're getting pressure with four guys.
Yep.
It's a very simple concept that's very difficult to pull off, but Jim Schwartz and Howie Roseman have really made an effort to make it a reality. We saw it work brilliantly last year to the tune of our first Super Bowl win ever.
Yep.
So there's no reason to stop, bolstering something that's already working really well. The sad news, of course, is the hits to the tight end position. Brent Celek and Trey Burton.
Yeah.
This has got me kind of worried. What about you?
Yeah, they got to do something to address this. They're going to have to draft a tight end and possibly go sign a tight end, too. Because you need three tight ends.
Yeah. I mean, you're going from three to one now.
Yeah.
And, you know, Zach Ertz is very good. He has a potential to be, I think he is right now a top five tight end.
Oh, yeah.
But Brent Celek brought so much to the game in terms of blocking. And Trey Burton did a great job of filling in and coming in three tight end sets and adding a lot of versatility.
Being the slide tight end.
Right, exactly. So now, you know, we went from having a stacked position to having a completely depleted position. Maybe they target a tight end. See, we don't have any second and third round picks, do we?
No, that's another problem.
So the earliest you can target a tight end is the fourth round. And do they go tight end fourth round? I don't know. We need to, sign some people at linebacker. We need to sign some people on the offensive line.
I think Howie has to find a day two draft pick somewhere.
Well,
somewhere in the cards, he's got to somehow get a second round. A day two draft.
That's where Vinnie Curry and or Brandon Graham come into play.
Yeah.
A lot of people are, and Ronald Darby, a lot of people are throwing these three names around as potential trade bait, specifically for second and third round picks. I think all three of them are worth something in that range. If you find the right fit.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that, that one of those trades will yield a day two draft pick.
What do you make, though, of, speaking of trades the Eagles could do, this is a story that just has everybody completely engrossed in it, the continuing saga of whether or not the Eagles will move Nick Foles.
I don't think it's happening. I don't think so.
The quarterback market got so messed up.
Yeah.
With the Vikings.
The whole quarterback free agency market completely screwed any talk of Foles trade, I think.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think the Eagles are even comfortable letting Foles go.
Right.
Because there is doubt that Wentz might not be ready for week one after tearing his ACL and his LCL.
That is very true. But now we're in a predicament where I think he's got several million dollars towards the cap this upcoming season. Do you try to restructure him?
No.
Do you just swallow the cap hit?
I think you just got to swallow it, yeah.
I think it's like $5 or $6 million, though, isn't it?
And I think you have to – here's the thing. I think you have to look at it like Nick Foles and Carson Wentz as a package deal kind of a thing. Like, if you look at it from that perspective, that you're getting Carson Wentz and Nick Foles for the 2018 season
right.
together
right.
for around $7 million, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. That's really good.
Right. Because Carson Wentz is still on his rookie contract.
You could have one Kirk Cousins for $28
yeah.
million, dollars, or you could have Carson Wentz and Nick Foles for $7 million.
Right.
So, you got to take the bargain there.
Right. So
the bargain that wins Super Bowls.
I don't think they're going to move from Nick Foles. Unless something crazy comes down the pike.
Well, I'll tell you, once the Vikings jettisoned all three of their starting caliber quarterbacks in order to get Cousins, they completely washed out the entire market.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford, I think, signed with
Cardinals.
The Cardinals.
Yep, the retirement home of players.
An alarming amount of money.
1 year, $20 million.
There's no way Sam Bradford is worth that much.
No.
There's no way.
Absolutely not.
He is a competent starting quarterback. He's not worth $20 million.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. The quarterback market is so messed up this year. Solely because of Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. They just screwed everybody. No,
yeah.
They screwed the Eagles, really.
Well, the whole quarterback situation is messed up. Because
yeah.
people don't know who to trust anymore. They really don't.
Well, yeah, you got the Browns signing, what's his face?
Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor.
Trading for Tyrod Taylor.
Trading for him, yeah.
Not signing. They traded for
him. He's the answer.
Oh, my God.
What are the Bills going to do, though?
Well, there's rumors that the Bills are going to move up in the draft to try and draft a quarterback now.
They better, because if not, they're going to be starting Peterman.
That Tyrod Taylor trade, I'm sorry, makes no sense to me. I don't know why people are saying like it's a great trade.
I don't know.
What is Tyrod Taylor going to do different for the Browns that no other quarterback did before then?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And he had Shady in Buffalo.
Yeah.
He's not going to have Shady in Cleveland, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's got nobody right now.
He doesn't even have Tyrell Pryor in Cleveland anymore.
No, the only thing they got is Jarvis Landry.
Oh, yeah, from Miami.
Yeah, they traded.
The Browns are being very active, but I don't know if they're making high-impact moves or high-value moves. Yeah. They're making moves, but...
but not the right moves.
Right.
Here's the thing. The Browns have draft picks, and they have cap space.
Yes.
So either use the cap space and get yourself a Kirk Cousins, or use your draft picks and get a franchise rookie quarterback.
They're going running back number one overall.
I can feel it
in my gut. They're going running back number one overall.
Yep.
You know what position has the highest chance of busting number one overall?
Running back. Yep.
Yeah.
They're going to do it. All right. Fantastic. What a way to end the football talk. But before we end the sports sampler, we got to talk about this. It's March Madness time. I know, Mike.
I was already mad. Okay, yeah. So it's your turn to get mad now.
Right.
That's what March Madness is about. Correct?
Yes. It's about watching all the college basketball all at once. I can't wait for this weekend. Starting today, it's Thursday when this podcast comes out. All the games start. The floodgates are open.
It's too many.
But it's so good. Like, it's just crazy to hear what's happening during the day.
It's too much, man.
For you, it is. For me, I enjoy it. It's great. There's so many teams to focus on, but let's focus on the local teams here.
Okay.
Villanova is the number one seed in the East bracket. They earned that by being the number two ranked overall, so that's good. The NCAA committee favors them very well.
That's pretty good.
And they have what many experts are saying is the weakest out of the four brackets. So there's a high expectation that they make a deep run into the bracket.
So they're going out round one is what you're saying.
Yeah.
They're going to lose to a 16 seed.
Well, no, hopefully not. Dear God, that would be embarrassing.
They'll lose to like a 9 seed.
Yeah, if they do lose, they usually choke in like the second round or the Sweet 16 round. But
that's the Philly way.
Right. That was the old Philly way. All right. We're now in post Super Bowl territory. All right. Villanova can make a run, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Well, they're number two overall. I should hope so.
Yeah. Some other local teams. Bucknell is ranked as a 14 seed. They're going to face Michigan State in the Midwest bracket. Oof. I think that's a tough matchup. They're probably going to lose that one.
I don't
one.
Know anything about basketball, but I know Michigan State is a big sports school.
Yeah.
So.
That's a tough draw.
Bucknell. I haven't heard them in March Madness ever, I don't think.
Well, guess what? They're in.
Good for them.
That's what matters. They made it in.
Good for them.
But unfortunately, the worst news, I think, goes to Penn. They kind of got screwed with a 16 seed. I mean, they went 24-8. They won their Ivy League championship. And no respect from the NCAA committee. They ranked them as a 16 seed. And because of that, they're going to face number one seed Kansas in the Midwest bracket, and they're probably not going to do anything.
No. I know. I have a friend who's a Kansas. It's a – what is it, Jayhawks?
Yeah.
He's a Kansas Jayhawks fan. And from what I understand, the Kansas Jayhawks have always been a very good college basketball team. The reason why Penn got stuck with a 16 seed is because the NCAA realized they're not a marketable team. They're not Kansas. They're not Michigan. They're not Nova. You know?
Yeah.
There's no reason to have them be in this tournament. So they're just pushing them to the side as quickly as possible.
So
and that sucks. That's
yeah,
not
it does
fair.
Suck. It at least a 15 seed. Give them a shot. A team like that should have at least some sort of hope.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at the records here, and I know it doesn't just go by records, but it says Bucknell's 25-9 and Penn was 24-8. I mean, those are super comparable records.
Yeah, and it does.
But Penn is two seeds lower than Bucknell.
And it does depend on who you face during the season and everything, but
right.
Come on. Come on, give Penn a little bit of a shot.
What were they ranked overall, like 64th?
Yeah, if you're a 16 seed, yeah, you're at the bottom, yeah.
One of those bottom four teams.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So, yeah, it would be nice to see some more Philly teams make it further into the tournament, but it looks like right now our only shot is really Villanova. But who knows? That's why I love March Madness, because each game is sudden death. You never really know.
Yeah, but it always comes down to a one or two seed.
Usually.
Like 9.9 out of 10 times.
No, 8 out of 10. 4 out of 5. A little bit better.
I don't know.
But that's why I like watching the games. And Thursday and Friday is just the best, because that's when you always hear like, oh, who got upset? Oh, you know.
Those are the first two rounds?
Yeah. Thursday and Friday is the first round. Oh. Saturday and Sunday is the second round.
So why does March Madness go on so long then if they finish half the bracket in like 4 days?
Because then they take 4 days of rest. So each weekend is a slate of games.
See, it's too much.
No, it's not.
It's too
let
it's
it be.
Too many games over too many days. Too much TV coverage.
I don't.
It needs to be like football with barely any television coverage.
Kidding me. Get out of here. I really can't claw away from you away from football, even during the off season.
Dude, you know me.
Yeah. All right.
You know the football's my... I will find a way to bring football into every week's episode.
All right. Well, wait until we get to golf, all right?
Oh,
golf
boy.
Season's coming up. Can't wait to talk about that. But for now, that will end the sports sampler. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we've got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Still plenty more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Michigan is making sure that your beer pint at the bar cannot be 16 ounces or fewer.
Do you have like an official beer inspector standing there?
Yeah, the Michigan beer thing.
The Michigan beer thing. The MBT.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. We're with the MBT. Is there 16 ounces in there? I'm sorry, sir. I'm reading 15.6 ounces. I'm going to have to take you in. So.
On the streets of Michigan, the Michigan beer thing is out and about to make sure you get the right beer.
Not the right beer, the right amount of beer.
Excuse me, right amount of beer. I'm drunk right now.
I'm drunk right now. It's all part of the business with the MBT.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. We are moving right along here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, the meal for your mind. But we have a special addition to the podcast that I would like to introduce right now, folks. Please welcome special guest Melissa Netta to the show. How you doing?
Wow, you gave my full name.
Yeah, why not?
Be able to steal my identity now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should I not have done that?
So did you write that little musical interlude there?
Did I write it?
It sounds like you did it on like a Casio keyboard or something. Rocking out though. It was good.
Did you like it? Yeah.
I liked the little beam, boom, beam, boom, beam.
Just take credit
background.
For it, Rich.
Okay, I'll take credit for it.
It was nice.
This is part of my music. I go from Swedish death metal to random techno and then to downtown if I want to. So
oh,
it's great.
Okay.
It all flows.
It all flows.
You should not listen to my iTunes library. Anyway, so how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing very good. So you do a lot of podcasts every now and then. Is there any other podcast that you do besides obviously this one and thoughts on stuff?
I mean, there's one that I should do, which is about my horrible dating life, but
are you going to do it?
Don't have like the stuff and
you can do our stuff.
I can use your stuff. Yeah.
Cause I think that's a great idea.
I mean, have you seen the page?
Yes. I've seen the page. Yes.
Have you browsed through it?
Yes. Yes. It's gold.
It's pretty bad.
It's gold.
Yeah. There was some guy today on Plenty of Fish who was trying to convince me that he's had worse dates than me. And I'm like, but have you been stalked or sexually harassed? Because,
yeah, it's
no,
not the same plane.
No, hashtag me too, sir. You're not one of those. And he was like, yeah, this girl called me a bad name. And I'm like, that's not.
Yeah, it's not the same plane.
No.
That's pretty
that's
rough.
Not how, yeah, I mean, so then I'm like, are we going toe-to-toe? I mean, is this, it's not a competition about who has a worse
yeah,
dating life.
That seems like a very awkward first date topic.
He was getting a little aggressive, so I think we're done with him.
That's going to be another
I think there won't
entry.
Even be a first bad date for him and I, because I'm already canceling. We're done there.
See, there you go. Like, you just have, no offense, you just have these like, horrible bad luck experiences.
They're very bad like, luck experiences.
I know, I make it sound like I'm, like, egotistical here. I know a lot of women, but.
Oh.
Yeah.
Biblically.
But you seem to really have just this, like, incredible bad luck or just weird stories that happen.
And it's not that it's bad. It's not that it's, oh, woe is me, bad. I mean, some of it is a little woe is me, but it's mostly just ridiculous situations.
Yeah.
Like, there was a guy that showed up with a huge goiter on his neck, and he didn't have that in any of his pictures. And then I realized all of his pictures were angled in such a way that
they're all
you
from
could
one
not
side.
See the goiter.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was a little. I mean, I would have been okay with goiter. You just, I feel like that's
you're okay with goiter. You're pro
goiter. I feel
goiter?
Like it's the kind of thing you just got to give a heads up. You
yeah.
know, if you're showing up,
a warning sign.
with something on your body that is very obvious, and we've talked for a few weeks and had multiple conversations in which you could have been like, BT dubs, huge tennis ball size goiter coming out of my neck.
It has its own personality.
Yeah. Well, like, I basically had appetizers with the goiter. I was completely distracted because. And then, like, I started to be a little nauseous. I was just.
So, who's your friend?
Yeah.
Right? And there was multiple times where I wasn't sure what. If I should say anything, but I was mostly just so pissed that he didn't give me a heads up that I,
right.
like, had to get out of there as soon as possible.
Wow. So, yeah, so these Man. Are the stories.
So those are that's like the tip of the Nena iceberg.
Right. And I really think you should go forward with it. So hopefully
maybe.
Hopefully your guest appearance on the Chris Mandel podcast will push you into the edge of producing your own podcast.
Which would be called, can I say what it would be called, though?
The Goiter.
Sure, the Goiter Podcast.
No, I mean, it's what the Facebook page is called, but I don't know if it's PG.
Yeah, because you're referencing the male genitalia.
Yeah.
So, no. You're close, though. You could do your
it's
own dirty
podcast,
basically
the
though.
Male genitalia conjurer.
Yes. I like it. You should run with it.
That's a lot. That's a lot to say. I'm already tired of talking
MGC.
About it.
You could, MGC podcast.
Maybe.
And then people have to ask what it means.
Listen, if you want to start a podcast with me, we can talk about it at some point. But it seems like you're really pushing this.
Okay. All right. I'll stop.
I feel a little bit of pressure.
I'm sorry.
I'm not upset at all, actually.
Well, for the time being,
Thank
it's good
you.
To have
Thanks
you
Thanks for the plug, though, for my non-existent podcast. I can't wait to be not famous because I don't have a podcast to plug.
Okay, fair enough. Well, in the meantime, you're here on the Chris Mandel podcast, so let's
Woo!
Yeah, let's get you yeah. on board with what we have coming up next. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
All right, there you go. There's our random clip of the week. Do you know where it's from?
Can you play it again?
Yeah, sure.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
Okay, I thought I knew the first time. I definitely don't know the second time.
Mike, you should know.
I do know. It is from The Room.
Yes.
The awful movie with, what's his face? Now I can't remember his name.
Tommy Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this movie until Rich introduced me to the sound clips from it.
Oh, so yes. He's a bad influence.
It's one of those obscure Rich movies.
Well, it's obscure in the fact that it's usually rated as like one of the worst movies of all time. It's just horribly put together. It's a horrible plot, horrible script. Just everything about it is just horrible.
Have you seen Cabin Fever?
Cabin Fever? No.
Worst movie, worst plot, worst everything. Sean from Boy Meets World is in it.
What?
He's the main guy.
What?
Yes.
He's the main character?
You just had me sold.
Cabin Fever.
Okay, I want to go check that out. Ryder Strong.
Yes.
Wow, I can't believe I pulled that name out.
I knew it. I was in love with him when I was growing up.
Oh, my God.
I was too, apparently. Ryder Strong.
No, you knew it.
Yeah. Well, all right, I'm going to have to check that out now, Cabin Fever. Anyway, to go back to the reason why I played Tommy Wiseau's clip is because a video is going viral right now of Tommy Wiseau trying to be the Joker.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yes, it is as terrible as you think it is.
Which Joker, though?
A compilation of the Heath Ledger one and Jack Nicholson one. So they had him do a couple of screen tests, and I figured we could take a listen to how bad or good he is, depending on how you view it.
Okay.
Because it is supposed to be the Joker, because, you know, he's a little crazy, little right. Unplanned in the head. So here we go. Here's one of his first lines from his audition tape.
What doesn't kill you make you stranger.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that I don't know about the laugh thing. He's going to have to give up the laugh.
The laugh was bad, but that line delivery was just awful.
That's his real accent?
That's his real accent, and that's him actually trying to act.
Right.
He's not a good actor.
Well, I just quickly Googled him, but he's the guy that they made that movie about, right?
Right, yes. The disaster artist. Yes.
Got
yes.
it. Okay, now I know who he is, and now I don't understand why he is trying to do Joker. Or anything, really.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to prove that he can do some acting chops, but it's just not working. Here's a second piece from the audition tape.
It's simple. We killed the Batman.
Were there multiple Batmen?
The Batman.
The Batman.
There were.
I'm glad you picked up on that too.
Many Batmen that he killed.
You have to, you know, if you're going to be a Joker, you got to take down multiple.
All the Batmen.
Yeah, you got to earn your spot to be the Joker. Here's another clip from the audition tape.
Have you ever danced with a devil in the pale moonlight? Did you?
No.
First of all, who's the guy who's like, no?
No. Like, it's him. No, he's answering his own question. No.
Just his enunciation of words is just really awkward.
And I know that line, that like Jack Nicholson.
That's the Jack Nicholson
line. That's not really effective.
Yeah, that's a
So
weird.
Is this serious? Is this dead serious?
Well, it's hit to him, it's serious. Okay. But to everybody else, we're all laughing.
It is very embarrassing.
Yeah. Tommy Wiseau lives in a completely separate universe from everyone else.
Which is why that movie was so popular, right? Because he's just crazy.
Yeah.
And James Franco played it very well, apparently.
Yes, correct. And I think I have one more clip here, if I did my calculations correctly. Here we go. One more clip from Tommy Wiseau's Joker audition tape.
Yes, come to me. Come on, I'm not the monster. No. Why? So serious? Why so serious? Why so serious? Let's put a smile on this face.
Why so serious?
How do you mess up? Why so serious?
So I used to pretend that I was good at impressions, and I used to pretend to be the Joker and be like, "Why so serious?" And it's funny because that's exactly what he's like. My bad pretending to be serious impression is exactly the same as
his best one.
Very serious impression.
It's like Captain Kirk. Why?
It's two separate questions.
So serious.
It's two separate questions. What? It's why question mark so serious
Maybe,
question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't understand.
So serious.
Yeah. Why does he got the break in the middle of it?
Why So serious? Why so serious?
It's two questions.
Yeah.
Pause for pregnant pause for emphasis.
Yeah, right. Of course. Be very dramatic.
Yes.
If he's going to do it, he's going to do it the
he
right
knows.
Way.
He knows what to do.
Yeah. So right now, this video is going viral. Right now, number 7 on YouTube. On all the YouTubes, it's number 7.
All the YouTubes.
On all the YouTubes.
On all the Batmen.
yes, all the Batmen.
All the Batmen on all the YouTubes.
Yes, it's Tommy Wiseau trying to do the Joker going viral right now. Check out the full video if you'd like to. Those are just some of the highlights. If you want to watch the full 3-minute video, go ahead.
I know some people had problems with Jared Leto as the Joker, but I think that's a little too far.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail right on the head. All right, let's move on from bad acting and just questioning why things were made in the first place to going to a segment where Mike lets us know what's good coming up this weekend in terms of movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
All right, Mike, what do you have for us this weekend? What should we keep an eye out for?
All right, first up, in theaters, we're getting the new Tomb Raider movie. It's hitting theaters this week. It's based on the newly rebooted video game series. But the movie follows Lara Croft, the daughter of a missing adventurer, who must push herself beyond her limits as she explores the island where her father disappeared. It's starring Alicia Vikander. Could be pretty interesting. Right now, it doesn't have many reviews out, but if you're into the Tomb Raider series, looks like they're taking this in a grittier, more realistic direction. So if you're looking for something to watch this week, go check out Tomb Raider.
Were you a big Tomb Raider gamer?
I played Tomb Raider on PlayStation 1, and I played the games that this is based on. And I got to be honest, I don't know if Alicia Vikander is the right person for Lara Croft, but we'll see how it works out. It's just,
okay.
I don't know, just something about it doesn't seem like it's aligning properly.
But what about Angelina Jolie? Was she?
Oh, she was also not a very good Lara
okay,
Croft.
Okay, okay. Trying to base your comparison.
Okay. The Tomb Raider has not had a very good track record.
Who is your ideal Lara Croft?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, you better come prepared next time.
Hey, I'm not the producer. I'm just sitting here critiquing everything.
How about this? You think about it, and then
I'll get back to Hollywood.
Get back to Hollywood.
Yeah. Call them up.
Hollywood up. I'll say, listen, guys, I thought it over. This is the new Tomb Raider. They're always looking for some input. Exactly like that. In the world of TV, we have Ricky Gervais' Humanity, a new comedy special on Netflix, which is actually the first from Ricky Gervais since 2010. Best known for The Office, Gervais is known for somewhat dry and divisive humor, both of which will be on full display in this special. Rich, I know you're a huge Ricky Gervais fan.
Yeah.
The Office and David Brent's musical stylings.
Right. This is his first time doing a solo show since trying to revive The Office and David Brent. So I'm interested to see where he's going to take his comedy show, what direction he's going to take the comedy in with Trump and everything like that happening in the global stage. But I've always been a big fan of his work. I even love the David Brent movie. I don't know why it got crapped on. I completely forgot
that came out.
Right, yeah, a lot of people did. But
I didn't even know it existed.
Yes, it's a full-blown movie.
Nice.
If you like the UK Office...
I did. I don't know. I mean...
I think you gotta like the UK Office. I think that's the key. If you don't like the UK Office...
I've seen... It's like he's just so... gross.
Unlikable.
Right. Yeah, that's the difference.
So awful.
Right.
And you like Michael Scott was awful, but you grew to love him a little bit.
Yeah.
You just never liked David Brent.
Correct. And that's the difference. And that's like the line in the sand between the two franchises.
Yeah.
But if you like the UK Office, go watch David Brent solo movie. And check out the new special, because I'm interested to see where he's going to go with it.
Yeah, I'll definitely be tuning into it to check it out. But you know what else is a lot of fun this month is this big news in the video game world. New month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. This is just outstanding. PlayStation owners get 2 critically acclaimed games in Ratchet & Clank and Bloodborne. These are both big AAA games, some of the first to appear for free for PlayStation Plus subscribers. Bloodborne specifically has just been so popular with gamers everywhere. People love how difficult it is. I tried it. It's not my cup of tea. the very first enemy in the game can kill you in one hit, and I'm just not dealing with that for 20 plus hours.
Oh, it's one of those, like...
It's one of those really grueling, punish you for every little misstep you make type games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny, because I feel like Bloodborne at this rate is one of those games that either you enjoy, and everybody in that field already has the game.
Right.
Or you don't enjoy it, and you're never going to pick up the game in the first place.
Which is probably why it's free.
Yes. I think that's the logic.
I will say this, though. Ratchet & Clank is the perfect antithesis to that. It's basically like playing through a Pixar movie. It's a very funny, very lighthearted, lots of action and platforming.
You lit up over there like a Christmas tree.
I like Pixar.
Oh, okay.
Yes, a fellow Pixar fan.
There you go.
I love Pixar, but this game is fantastic. Rich, I think you would actually like it because it's got crazy weapons, like a gun that turns enemies into sheeps.
Okay, I like that.
And Tommy Wiseau is in it.
Tommy Wiseau, yeah. That would be.
I wish. Why?
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. But definitely go check out these two games, Ratchet & Clank and Bloodborne, free for PlayStation Plus subscribers. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. I'm always interested to see what's coming up in movies, TV, and video games. So we were off last week because of an unexpected nor'easter, so we didn't get a chance to cover the Oscars. So I figured we'd take this week's entertainment entree and just, you know, go over some movies that we do want to talk about that won. Obviously, the big news is The Shape of Water. This one won 4 awards, won Best Picture, Best Director. To me, this one came out of nowhere. I never even heard of The Shape of Water until, like, awards season.
Wrong, because I talked about it in This Week in Entertainment.
Oh, sorry.
You guys got to listen to This Week in Entertainment.
Look, when you tell me there's a shotgun that's going to shoot shoot enemies into bunnies or whatever, then I pay attention. No.
Yeah. But The Shape of
Water...
Well,
you like Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, I liked his previous work, Pan's Labyrinth. Yeah, it's that guy.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at movies.
I like this. It's like every now and then.
No, that's perfect. Oh.
I'm your canned audience.
That's what we've been missing.
Yeah, this is the final piece of the puzzle.
The laugh track. Perfect. but yeah, The Shape of Water. I like Guillermo del Toro. I like his style of dark fantasy type stories, and that's sort of what The Shape of Water is. It's interesting that he won for this movie because he's actually I don't know if you know this, the fourth Mexican director to win Best Picture in the last 5 years.
Whoa.
Yeah. Interesting little trend.
Conspiracy.
It is a really interesting trend. Maybe a conspiracy because one person won twice, so I don't know.
Who was it?
Alejandro G. Inarritu.
Oh, yeah.
For right. Birdman and The Revenant.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wait, he did both of those?
He did both.
They're so not the same movie. No, totally I mean, not different. Saying they can't do that, but...
No, but it's so different. It speaks to his range as a director. Yeah. You're right. I mean, yeah, Birdman and The Revenant. And you know what? I didn't really enjoy The Revenant, but...
Neither did I.
People are like, oh, it's amazing. And I watched it. I was like, I can't understand a thing anybody's saying.
Yeah.
I watched it for a very long time. And then I was like, okay, it's almost time for bed. And then I saw there was still an hour left. And I was like, why is this not ending? How long can you follow Leo DiCaprio through the woods?
Not just following him, but following him as he says nothing but grunts and groans.
Yeah.
Like 45 minutes of that, he's like, ugh. It's like, I get it. You're in pain. Shut up.
There's a bear. We
crawl silently.
You've had enough of this.
I wasn't a huge fan.
To be fair, yeah, I would say that this was not the movie he should have won the Oscar for.
Birdman, though. Birdman was awesome.
Yeah, Birdman's a great
movie. Did you guys notice it was all done in one... I mean, it wasn't done in one take, but it has... It's
a lot
it's
of flowing.
Edited, so it never hard cuts anywhere.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Go back and watch it. It's really cool.
I that was a movie I did enjoy.
Yeah.
And I would agree. That won Best...
I think it won Best Picture.
I don't think it did.
It won Best... that was the same year Boyhood came out. I keep getting the two confused because they both start with B.
And they're both the same movie.
No, they're not the same movie.
Very similar. One's about a bird superhero. One's about a dude.
I thought Birdman didn't win. Because I remember I was watching and I was disappointed.
I am trying to look it up. I will find out in just
Mike's the head of our research department.
So it won Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Original Screenplay.
Well, then what happened to me that year?
Were you a big fan of Boyhood?
No. Yeah. It was hard to get into.
Because that movie, oh my gosh, everybody kept saying, it took 20 years to make. Isn't that revolutionary?
And that was the shtick. That was the
thing. That was it. That was the only
cool thing about it.
Right.
Yes, because it wasn't actually a story. Like, people were there and did things.
It was
and
just
then
a guy
just,
existing for 10 years.
Right, and it was more of like an experience or like a thought experiment where it's like, here's this person's life. Cool, but it doesn't really go anywhere.
It doesn't translate into a movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're on agreement. I like it. another movie that I would like to mention is Get Out, because this was a sleeper hit, and I enjoyed the hell out of that movie. It won Best Original Screenplay, and Jordan Peele becomes the first black screenwriter to win Best Original Screenplay, so I thought that was pretty cool.
I think he's well-deserving of it.
Yeah.
It was just I thought it was a really smart movie.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it had
usually like horror slasher flicks, it's very predictable and, you know, it has the same beats and the same tropes, but this one was different. It respected the intelligence of the audience, and the main character was like, you know what, this is messed up. I'm going to try and leave this place before I get killed.
The main character actually had some sense.
Yes.
Not too much sense, because he had to fall victim to the whole thing.
Of course.
But he at least had some moments where he's like, yo, this is not right.
Yeah.
I've got to get out.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Bum, bum, bum.
All right, I'm going to go.
Mike
drop.
There you go. We lost. We lost Melissa. She's done. Another movie that was that I thought was good to point out was Darkest Hour. Gary Oldman wins his first Oscar. He's always kind of one of those like well respected actors you think has like a whole like trophy full of awards.
It's his first one,
right? This is his first one.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah, right. He never won an Oscar before this one.
I just assumed that he had won at some point.
Exactly, I did too.
Well, he's very deserving of it then.
Yes.
And really, there wasn't all that much competition in that category, it seems.
But yeah, I think
for best actor,
I think first off, you had Gary Oldman, and he was playing Winston Churchill. That seemed like a recipe for
you have a historical biopic. I mean, come on, that's going to get attention.
Oscar.
Yeah.
Here's one I know you want to mention is Coco.
Yes,
so go ahead, take the floor, Mike.
Coco was great. I actually just watched it the other day. It's the ninth Pixar movie to win Best Animated Film. Pixar is just the absolute best.
Sweeping.
Yeah. It, everything about their movies is so good. It's
clever.
It's magical. It's clever. Yes, it's a good way to put it. Clever. And Coco, have you seen Coco?
No, not yet.
It's really good. You should check it out. I wasn't anticipating it to be very good. Like, I was sort of like, on the fence about it.
Yeah.
And that's how I was going into it. By the end of it, I was like, wow, this was really, really good. It was very heartwarming, as all Pixar movies are. What I love that they do is they take important themes and they present them very simply so that everybody can understand them, you know, the whole family can understand them. But there's a certain beauty to it in the way that they present the themes. It's just they come across very strong, very poignant. And I don't want to spoil it by saying anything, but it did a really good job of tying things up at the end and really hitting those key emotional notes. It was a very good movie.
And apparently Benjamin Bratt is in it, who was in Law and Order for like 5 seconds and Miss Congeniality, and I used to think he was hot. And then I saw him on the stage and I was like, what? Why is he at the Oscars? But we figured it out because he was apparently in the movie.
There you go.
I don't know who that person is.
It's. I mean, he's a very random actor.
But
5 seconds.
He stole your heart.
If you're hot enough, I'll get to know you. is my tagline.
That's the tagline for your podcast.
There you go. Put that in the subheader.
All right.
I like it. All right.
Crispy Noodles just covering the news and creating spinoff podcasts left and right.
Right. We're podcast enthusiasts. We're giving
we're
people
consultants.
Ideas. Consultants, yes.
Yes.
That sounds way professional.
Way professional.
I should pay you guys.
Oh, wow. Okay, thanks. We'll take money.
It's the first person that's ever said that to us in 5 years.
I didn't say with what, though.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'll take anything. So one more thing that I wanted to mention about the Oscars before we leave the topic. I kind of feel like, though, the Oscars is going – each year it's going like kind of more towards highbrow, the art.
Yeah.
You know, the art house movies. Yeah.
Like the indie type.
Right. Which, I mean, I'm not saying it's 100% bad because I'm sure there are quality movies that come from it. But it always just feels like I'm blindsided when the nominations come out. Am I the only one that feels that way? Please tell me I'm not.
Well, being a lot of a movie virgin that I am, because I have trouble sitting through a lot of movies because now they get longer and longer. And
they do.
They're going to be 4 hours long and then I'll have to split them up into bits. But I definitely, a lot of stuff will come out and I'll say, I've never even heard of that. I didn't know that was out. But I don't know, from someone who probably really watches movies and likes the Oscars, maybe you have a better idea of.
Well, so I'm in a unique position because I do, you know, for the past couple of years, I've been doing the This Week in Entertainment. So I make it my job every week to look at what movies
are coming
out and what's getting a lot of buzz. And, you know, I hate to brag, but the past couple of years, I've mentioned a couple of Best Picture nominees over the course of the podcast. That being said, though, until the week that I'm looking up those movies, they are completely under the radar.
Right.
I wouldn't know them unless I go out of my way to research them. Is that a problem with the entertainment industry and how they focus on these films? Or is that a problem of the films and just not a lot of people are seeing them? I can guarantee you that all these movies for Best Picture together probably grossed less than, you know, Black Panther. Yeah. I'm not saying that Black Panther should be nominated for an award, but entertainment, you have to balance the art with, you know,
the action and the
yeah, you have to realize that it's also a consumer product. And
right,
didn't you mention too before we started gathering info on this that it was one of the lowest rated Oscars?
Yeah, I was casually looking through the list of Oscars and looking at the viewership, and I'm like, wow, in 99 they had 57 million viewers. This year they had 26.
Yeah, I mean, so, do you think that could be a reason why? I mean,
probably.
Why should I tune into the Oscars if I'm not familiar with any of the movies?
The movie that won was a dark fantasy romance by a Mexican director. There's not a lot of people that are going to watch that movie in theaters.
On their own.
I hate to say it, but there's not a lot of people that are going to watch that movie. It's a shame because it sounds like a fantastic movie. But
it's like Rochelle from Seinfeld. Is that what it was called, the movie?
Yes. They all had to go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she was naked the whole time or something.
Great reference.
Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, it is. And I don't know how Hollywood fixes that. Because I don't think there's a way to fix it.
I think they're only going to get snobbier with it, really.
Either that or as the old guard dies off, they start to make way for films that sort of bridge that gap. Like, this is the thing that I've been saying for a long time. Christopher Nolan is a great example of the type of movies that should be nominated for Best Picture, because Christopher Nolan always walks that line between art and pop culture, right? So, you know, Inception was a very heady film, but it was also action-packed and it did well with the audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you pull from both those crowds. Dunkirk was a little different.
Yeah.
But Interstellar was another good example of those types of artistic movies that also have wide appeal.
Right.
So more directors like Christopher Nolan is what I'm saying.
Yes. Inception is one of my favorite movies. And exactly. I don't understand, how that didn't win more awards. But that's
Well, did Avatar win?
I think it was nominated.
Avatar was nominated.
Yeah, I think it was nominated
was a while ago. So that was when it was still. Because I feel like Avatar was one of those big blockbusters that ended up making it through.
Mm-hmm.
Avatar lost to The Hurt Locker, which, you know, if you ask me, there are a lot of other.
Was also before they went to nine films, right?
Yeah,
that was like the last year they did five.
Man, so I'm looking at this list. You got District 9, Avatar, Inglourious Basterds.
I mean, we all know Up, those movies.
Right. Yeah,
yeah.
Up in the Air. I mean, I think they're all better than The Hurt Locker, but.
Yeah, and at least those are movies that I remember going to go see
exactly
in the movie theater,
right?
You know,
Like I've heard of those movies before right. and after the Oscars.
Right.
Right. So, I don't know. I feel like there's kind of a schism kind of happening.
You know which one always frustrates me in terms of movies that have won Best Picture?
Oh, I know.
Do you know?
I know.
It's not Titanic.
No.
Well,
no,
it
no.
should be.
Well, that is one of them. I know. I do hate that.
He could have just gotten on the damn door.
I agree.
Spoiler alert.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But do either of you take a guess at what movie I'm thinking?
I know.
What is it?
Shakespeare in Love.
Yes.
What?
You don't like Shakespeare in Love.
I hate Shakespeare in Love.
I didn't even know that one.
Saving Private Ryan should have won that year.
Right.
But the other one that I'm thinking of specifically recently, do either of you remember The Artist?
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No.
Why do you remember it, though?
Because that awesome guy in it. What's his name?
John.
I forget.
John Des...
No, that's not...
Jean Desjardins?
Maybe I'm DeJournes? Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong movie.
Is he brothers with Eric Desjardins?
No, it's not that. Who? What? I'm thinking of a different movie then.
The Artist was a silent black and white film about dancing. It won Best Picture.
Right, and who was in it? That's famous.
Jean
that's famous.
Oh, I don't know.
That's famous? I don't know.
Go through the entire cast right now.
All right, hold on.
I'm kidding. You don't really have to.
I can.
This thing is
up.
Timed.
All right, let's see. Let me see if I can find the cast. Jean, I can't even pronounce these names.
Okay.
Jean Desjardins.
Nope.
Berenice Bejo.
Is there anyone
Beth Grant?
That sounds famous?
Ed Lauter? No.
All right.
Basil Hoffman?
Then I was thinking of... I'm thinking
Missy
of another
Pyle.
Movie.
What are you trying to
John do? John Goodman.
John Goodman?
Yes, him. No.
Yeah! Why are we thinking of John Goodman?
I think that was sarcasm.
Yeah.
Oh, yay!
Yay, sarcasm!
Yay!
Come on, Rich.
No, the Artist, that's another one. I was like, really? That one?
Eh. To be fair, it wasn't a great year for Best Picture, but it's one that I always like to point out. Like, nobody has seen that. Nobody will see it.
Right, because nobody's famous was in it.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
As we just saw.
Except for John
Yeah, that person.
Was I thinking of The Pianist?
Maybe.
Adrian Brody?
Yes!
Oh, that's the
You were thinking
movie.
Of The Pianist?
I was like, of course it won. He's awesome.
The Artist, The Pianist. I can see.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Speaking of him, and I don't mean to go way off topic, but have you guys seen Peaky Blinders on Netflix?
Yes.
He has.
I love Peaky Blinders.
It has Adrian Brody in it?
It is
in the last season, yeah.
Best thing that's ever happened to me.
Wow.
Wow.
TV-wise.
It's really high praise.
Like, it's... Sadly, not much has ever happened to me except that goiter. But you should watch it. You should watch it. It's so good.
Oh my god.
And you can watch it in like a day because it's six episodes a season.
Right, it's BBC series. Yeah, they only do six episodes.
Those British man, they know how to keep things brief, don't they?
But you have to put the subtitles on.
Yeah, you can't understand some of
them. Oh, no.
Is it, like, really...
Well, you have to get the wounds,
really
and you got to go over to the bridge.
Really thick accents. Yeah. And I watched the first three episodes, and my friend who recommended it to me, I was like, yeah, it's really hard to understand. And he's like, just put the subtitles on. And I was like, brilliant!
Why
oh, my God! And I was so pissed, because I was like, I'm three episodes in, though. I missed all this stuff. Now I gotta go back.
Yeah, it's a great series, though. I love
it. And
Peaky
he's
Blinders.
In the most recent season, and
right.
he's so good. He's so good.
Yeah, it's a good series. Cillian Murphy's just great, too. He's
And he's hot, too.
I agree.
You know my rule about hot men.
There you go. You know everything.
I know all about you if you're hot.
All right. Let's get that message
like
sent
the
to Cillian.
Like the creepy girl on the podcast.
I like it.
Oh, God.
We'll send that message to Cillian Murphy. let him know. So there you go. That's the
All
Oscars
right.
wrap up here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. that will also wrap up the entertainment entree for this week. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we've got your batch of odd news. You're staying for the odd news, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. We're going to need more of your.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to need more of your take on some of these odd news stories that I've got, because they're wacky.
I'm in.
All right. Good. So we'll see you on the flip side on the non-fortune cookie odd news when we come back.
The Chris. crispy noodle, always crunchy.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A California man is accused of assaulting a woman while wearing a pink Barbie costume.
Of course.
The victim was using the restroom when the suspect entered her stall dressed like Barbie. I was looking and I saw 2 feet slowly planted on the floor, and they were a man's bare feet. She noted that the suspect was wearing a Barbie outfit. Luckily, the victim fought back and managed to escape. Schwartz ran out soon after, and when a security guard tried to confront him, Schwartz allegedly threatened to stab him with a screwdriver.
That's very Barbie-like of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always have a Barbie for, like, every single job.
Yeah, there you go. Criminal assault Barbie.
Criminal assault Barbie.
In a criminal world, assaulting people in the bathroom.
I have a screwdriver. I'm gonna stab you in the eye.
Get out of my way. Need to make an escape.
Come on, Barbie. Let's do crime. This is criminal assault Barbie. Yeah,
she
comes with a removable screwdriver, but no shoes apparently.
No.
Doesn't know how to accessorize, I guess.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah. We are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are hanging out. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. We are moving right along here on the show. How are you holding up there, Nena?
I'm alive.
You're alive?
Yep.
The music keeping you up?
Johnny number 5, still alive.
Okay.
Is that you didn't get that reference?
I'm sorry.
You got that reference, right?
No.
Okay, Short Circuit.
Short Circuit.
No.
Short Circuit. He was a robot. It was a robot.
It was a robot.
I hate you guys.
I'm sorry. We ruined it.
I think Steve Guttenberg's in it.
Steve Guttenberg?
Yeah.
What?
I still don't know what we're talking about.
How old are you guys?
I will be 29 in April.
Yeah.
That explains it.
There you go.
Go on.
Sorry.
Was this a movie or?
Yes, it was 2 movies.
Oh my gosh.
With Steve Guttenberg.
With Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, I know Steve Guttenberg. Yeah.
But I've heard the name.
All right. Well, luckily we're moving geez. On. We're moving on from the entertainment portion.
Did not win an Oscar, needless to say.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Those movies should be nominated.
That's right. Then we would know more about them.
Yeah.
Instead of the stupid artist.
Damn it. We got to lead the good fight. But we're going to move on from the entertainment entree, and we're going to move on to our third and most exciting portion of the show. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? See? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Yeah.
Jesus.
We need to get people ready for the odd news.
There's no way everybody listens all the way through to that. Forward 15 seconds, forward 15 seconds, forward 15 seconds.
Oh, well, you mean you can if
but
you
I
want
did
to.
Recognize a lot of those quotes, and I was super excited. And are you trying, you have like, is that your voice? The one that's like, fortune.
Right, yeah, it slowed down, yeah.
It's a little creepy. But I like it.
All right. That's what matters, as long as you like it.
That's a lot of nuts. I know what that's from. I'm so excited.
Oh, all right. There you go. See? You know movies.
All the bad ones, though.
I just got to say, it's amazing watching your reactions as we're listening to that whole clip, because you're like, what is happening?
It's just never ending. Yeah. I didn't know when we were going to speak. I didn't know if there was any more.
And it makes me realize just how insane it actually is.
It's very long.
Because, well, the thing is, every single one of those clips has been, like, pertinent to an odd news story in our 5 years of doing this podcast. Yeah. So that's, like, we keep drawing back from each of those things. Anyway. Speaking of the odd news,
yes,
Mike, what is the odd news?
We're in the non-fortune cookie odd news. For those of you that might not be familiar with this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I'm joined, of course, now by Melissa Nenna.
I'm really good at reacting.
Yes.
I've heard that you're very good at reacting. Well, this is the segment for you because all these stories Rich has kept secret and hidden from us, which assures that all of our reactions are genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. We don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. We're ready to get started.
All right.
So let's do it.
Let's launch into the first story here. You guys like theme parks, roller coasters, stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
No loops, but yeah.
What?
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of loops. You like loops?
I love loops.
Okay.
Fruit Loops.
Loops and Fruit Loops.
All sorts of loops.
Okay. All right. Personally, I'm not, but
lame.
But I gotta love this story.
You don't even like rides at all, do you?
No, I don't. I'm lame.
Can you not even ride the Ferris wheel?
Ferris wheel's all right. I can't do anything with, like, a drop.
A Ferris wheel has a drop.
No, yeah, but not like a sudden
what
drop.
Type of Ferris wheels are you riding?
It spins really fast. Rolls down the entire street.
I'm gonna ride that Ferris wheel. The baskets are flipping out.
No, I can't handle like a sudden drop. I know. I'm one of those guys. I'm sorry.
You're both the worst.
But maybe this is somewhere you may want to visit here.
Okay.
Because the American company iTech Entertainment has announced that they are going to plan a theme park that is exclusively based on Jewish values.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know this was possible. It will rival the Magic Kingdom and Harry Potter World, according to its recent press release.
How?
Okay. More?
Yes.
Go on.
16 Jewish-themed rides are going to be planned for the park, including the landmark Holy Splash Mountain, that will feature a 50-story high biblical image.
Please tell me there's a circumcision ride.
that could be a little painful. With over $400 million of foreign investment behind it, the park...
What?
Yes, $400 million they've already got behind this.
We have to go.
Yes.
Yeah, where is this again?
It will be in Dimona, Israel.
Oh, come on.
That's so far away.
Yeah. I can't go there.
Yeah. Hey, someone has to cough up $400 million.
Well, it makes sense as to where it is. Oh, I mean, geez.
This is amazing.
But it will cover more than 4,000 acres of land.
4,000?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I don't think that's
for
a
only
type,
six. You said I'm 16 just... rides?
16 Jewish-themed rides, yes.
Yeah, but they're long rides. They're 4,000 acres long.
Okay. They're really long, apparently.
It's a half-hour ride. I want to get off.
And then there's somebody who's just like, well, you can't.
You can't.
There's like Jewish mothers yelling at you.
You started the ride. Now you have to finish it.
Oy, our ancestors suffered for thousands of years.
You must suffer for 4,000 acres.
That's
my horrible Jewish accent.
Do they have, please tell me they have like one of those tilt-a-whirls that's shaped like a menorah. Please tell me.
I think that has to be one of the planned rides here.
Does it have a list of rides?
Well, no, it just...
What's a Jewish-themed ride? I want to know what a Jewish-themed...
Holy Splash Mountain. And circumcision ride. Circumcision Central.
The gift shop is terrifying.
Yeah, you might...
They give you your foreskin back.
Oh.
On a keychain. I survived, but parts of me didn't. You know, those little keychain things.
Yeah, with the little picture, like a little plastic picture holder.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to cost, like, you know, it's $100 to get it out of the thing, and then you have to... You know what? Never mind. Let's move on.
Wait, I want more rides. Give me more rides.
Well, they only have this one announced, the Holy Splash Mountain.
That's a boring one. I want to hear something that's more Jewish.
That's actually just Splash Mountain with the word holy in front of it.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, they're not very creative so far.
What is the biblical image? You said there was like a biblical image or something?
It's going to be 50 stories high, whatever the...
50 stories?
Yes. Whatever they're choosing for the biblical imagery, yes, is planned.
Wait, what? Okay. Well, that's it?
No.
That's all I get?
No,
keep going.
I got some other things
here.
I want
more. No, I mean about this park.
Got some other things, yes. Benny Bitten, who's the mayor of Dimona, Israel, says that he's looking forward to the boost that the park will provide. The park is not slated to be completed until 2023 because it needs to clear some government hurdles before the construction can begin. On a separate note, Dimona is also the site of Israel's nuclear reactor. So
there's a reason then for this.
That might be a little
it's a decoy.
Coincidental.
It's a decoy. Yeah.
What, they're hiding something underneath the...
Yeah.
What are they hiding?
The biblical splash mountain.
Oh, the nuclear reactor is a front for the theme park.
No.
Whichever you'd like. They both sound utterly ridiculous.
Well, apparently it is a thing. It is confirmed by iTech Entertainment.
This is a town of 30,000 people.
Yep, and they're going to build
it's
this
a
mega
relatively
park.
Relatively small town. They're going to this is
yeah,
gonna
but be... people are going to travel far and wide.
Right,
for
of course.
This.
I want to see Circumcision Central. I don't want to ride it. I just want to see it,
just like the Jews did.
You could say that people were traveling for, what is it, 40 years?
Yeah.
To get there.
Yeah.
4,000 acres.
4,000 acres. Very similar.
Do you think they'll sell those little hats with the curls that the rabbis wear?
Why
as
not?
As souvenirs? I could work at this place. You I'm so good at these ideas.
Yeah. All the concessions have to be kosher.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Gotta be,
no hot dogs.
No meat and cheese.
Blessed and... Rabbis are going to be involved in the planning and design of the park as well. I don't know. Can they offer architecture designs?
I'm so excited.
Well, that's part of becoming a rabbi is learning about.
It is. Yeah.
And instead of a ticket, you have a yarmulke. Like you have to wear, like instead of a wristband that you have to wear at parks, you wear your yarmulke.
Okay. What do the girls wear though? Because they don't have yarmulkes.
Oh, they don't?
They
no,
have
girls
like
don't.
Wigs, oh. Don't they? There's like girl, like wigs.
Oh, okay. They can wear wigs. All right. Did not know.
So you dress up and go on rides.
But on Splash Mountain, you might lose something.
Yeah the yarmulke is going to fly off.
Yeah,
they need to have like a little like chin strap.
Yeah, a little chin strap. Yeah. Make sure that is securely fastened.
This is getting more absurd by the second.
Well.
Our ideas are way better than theirs.
Right. I think we can do better than these rabbis. We'll call them up. Tell them, get rid of the rabbis. We got the ideas.
I'm going to write these rabbis.
Let's do, we got a local story here, New Jersey.
Okay. Oh, I love that state.
Okay. Any reason in particular?
That was sarcasm.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Very the good. Jug handles specifically.
Oh, okay. Well, this one, we're just coming off of the nor'easter, all
right,
snowstorm,
right.
Has to do with this, a New Jersey man whose home had been without power since the nor'easter that hit the state last week. Was arrested after police said he threatened to kidnap a utility company employee and bomb the local electrical substation if his power wasn't turned back on.
She's not a Christian!
Wait, why is bombing it going to help?
Yeah, I don't think that will solve your
problem.
That
will continue your lack of power.
That will make it much, much worse.
63-year-old Robert Winter, ironic name, was sent to Sussex County Jail following the threat on Monday and charged with third-degree terroristic threats.
I love that charge.
I thought you were going to say burns. I just wanted it to be third-degree burns.
Winter made the threats after calling Jersey Central Power and Light. Apparently that's the name of the company.
Apparently not light enough if they're not lighting this man's house.
Yep. He called the call center to complain about his continuing service outage that was triggered by last week's snowstorm. Winter, quote, quickly became agitated. That's when he threatened to kidnap the employee that was on the phone. Sounds like a winner here.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. I'm not going to put my power on. I'm coming to get you.
Everything about this plan is weird. Because if you kidnap the person, they're not going to be able to help you. And then if you bomb the substation, there's nothing to repair.
These are non-realistic threats. Like, have yeah. real threats. Like, I'm going to come over and, like, beat up your mom or something. That then they'll feel, okay, I better get his power back on. I got to protect my mother.
Oh, no. Why'd I bring my mom to work with me?
Oh, darn it. Out of all the days,
I knew she should have stayed home.
Out of all the days to bring your mother to work day.
Bring your mother to work day.
After he threatened to kidnap the employee, that's when he continued further and said that, quote, I'm adept at bomb making.
Oh, wow. He's dead serious.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just an FYI, I'm very good at making bombs.
That's a humble brag.
And that, quote, he was going to blow up a substation to prevent everyone from having power. His direct quote was, quote, I know how to make one. Damn it, if I can't have power, no one will when I'm done.
He's got a point. He's got a point.
Oh, my God.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
He's a better joker than Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah,
I know.
Right?
Why so serious?
Why? So serious. A security investigation was called, who contacted the Sussex County Prosecutor's Office before arresting Winter at his home without incident. He was booked in the local county jail. He was no longer detained as of Tuesday. Power returned to his community by Monday night. So if he had just waited,
man,
he would have been fine.
He needed power. Maybe he did it just to get power for a night.
Oh, in jail?
So, yeah.
Oh, all right. Charge your phone in jail.
Like, or maybe need power.
The only reason he got power is because he made those threats and they're like, oh man, we better hurry up.
Before we release him.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So maybe threats might help. If you need something.
I wouldn't recommend that.
That's terrible advice.
Yeah. It is the odd news.
The squeaky wheel gets the oil and the explosive wheel gets their power back.
Yes, there you go. How about we do some Florida stories here?
Yes.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Is that you?
That was me.
Yeah. Yep. He has his own little tidbit. Yeah, he sings the Florida song.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, see, I heard it the first time. Thank you. Thank you for playing it again, elongating the quotes even more.
Just in case. That's what
They'll
I like
never
to do.
Stop.
That's what I like to do. I like to make sure everyone has heard the sound clips 10 times.
Minimum.
Poor listeners.
The reason why we have a 2-hour show is half of it is sound clips.
I know, right?
That's so true.
You can cut down.
But we do have some Florida stories here. Let's do this one here. A teacher from Jacksonville, Florida was arrested Friday night after getting into a fight with another mother at a children's baseball game. You gotta love these stories. 37-year-old Terry Lee Corsi, who is a teacher from Clay High School, was suspended following her arrest. Corsi pleaded not guilty to first-degree charge of simple battery. The incident occurred last Friday night during a Little League exhibition game. Apparently, Corsi criticized a mother who was wearing short shorts to the game and said that, quote, it was too inappropriate.
She's not a Christian!
We heard that one already.
I will keep playing it.
But I need to know, what is simple battery? Is there like an advanced battery that you can be charged with?
I don't know.
Complicated battery?
Yeah.
Advanced battery?
Yeah. I don't know.
What is advanced battery?
bombing a substation? I don't know. That's a good question.
Simple battery is like if you hit a dude. Advanced battery is if you throw like a crazy combo.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like a more
right left,
combat.
Right left, A B, A B.
Yes.
Up down,
yes.
Up down.
That's advanced battery.
Okay.
Wow.
So finish him is like
yeah.
That's expert
advanced
battery.
Advanced battery.
Actually, I think that might just be murder.
You move on to the next round.
Got
yes.
it.
Yes.
The victim said that Corsi began attacking her and repeatedly punched her in the face.
What?
And then tackled her.
That's not simple. That's getting to complicated.
Right. Yes. We need to change the definitions of simple battery.
When you start tackling people.
Just because of her shorts.
Yeah. She does not like the short shorts.
Look at them go with the Daisy Dukes on. Do you know that song? No, of course you don't. Why don't I just be your quotes?
Yeah, you could. I could have a whole board of quotes.
Just
by the end
come
of this.
In. Let Nena come in and just be the quote board.
Okay. Rich will just point whenever he wants to. Yeah. He just shout something.
You could do that.
All right.
So apparently this was pretty serious here. The victim had a cut on her right wrist, marks on her shoulders, black and blue marks on her elbows and chest, and there were also bruises on her forearms as well.
How is that simple battery?
Yeah, I don't think this is simple battery.
Bitches be cray.
Yeah, especially for short shorts.
Yes.
Corsi spoke to the police the next day about the incident, in which she claims that, quote, she was right. Well, oh, y'all love these stories. And that, quote, she was protecting the sanctity of the children.
Okay.
By physically abusing another woman in front of them.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Don't wear
Florida.
Short shorts, kids, but beat the crap out of this other person.
Yep. Go home, Florida. You're drunk.
If you're in an unholy state, beat those people up. Those no-gooders. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Quick, throw a quote in.
Sure.
She's not a Christian!
Oh my god, no! It's the same one!
Because yeah. I knew that. Yeah.
Canceling you.
Corsi is due in court next Monday to defend her claim, so I guess she's actually going to go to court and try and defend herself.
I bet she tries to beat someone up in court.
That'll be next week's odd news story, then.
Nice.
The judge's gown is too short. She taps the judge.
Back in my day, there was a considerable amount of black cloth.
Yes.
That sounds like it could be at the Jewish theme park as well.
There you go. If she can't make it in Florida, yeah, she can go to Israel. Help them out.
Okay. All right.
All right. Let's see. I got another Florida story here for you. This one's, You know, I'll just read it as it is. I was going to make, yeah.
Just go for it.
Going to go for it. A woman in her underwear arriving on a white horse at a packed nightclub and being greeted by flashing cameras didn't go so well with Miami Beach cops.
Was it Lady Gaga?
No, it was not
okay,
Lady Gaga.
I'm just saying, I mean, that sounds like a Lady Gaga entrance.
It does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very eccentric and very over the top. The Mokai Lounge is under investigation for possible animal cruelty and public safety issues after video from the stunt earlier this week surfaced on social media. The clip shows the woman in a thong and a bra entering the club on a white horse. Because, you know, when you go to the club, man, that's some...
But, okay, yeah. So I'm going to make another reference that you guys won't know.
Uh-oh.
The song White Horse. If you want to ride, ride the white horse. I'm just saying, she probably was listening to that.
Is calling that song out?
Yeah. You're going to have to look all this stuff up later.
Okay. Man, we'll have a list of everything.
It's a really good song, though, and it makes sense. She probably was... That's the tune of her.
That's her soundtrack.
Yeah. That's the soundtrack that she plays for 1 hour of her podcast.
Yes. Who sings that?
Laid Back.
Laid Back?
I don't think I've ever heard
Laid
of this
Back,
one.
It's one word.
This one?
Yeah, but it takes a while to get to the words. Oh, okay. So you might want to. You can either play it in the background.
Yeah, I'll play it in the background.
Well, have you heard some of our clips?
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's fine.
So go on. We've got plenty of time.
We've got plenty of time here. So the horse is walking into the club here, probably to this song.
This
Why
is,
not?
No, this is perfect background music. I'm so excited.
Yeah. This actually really works. I like it.
It does.
The horse then suddenly dips, and the woman falls off the horse. Both the horse and the woman walk away. People in the video are heard gasping and cheering for the horse. Police then arrive on the scene and shut down the nightclub. The reason why I brought this out is they have not caught the woman.
But the horse.
The horse is fine.
They got the horse.
They got the horse back.
Here we go.
Don't ride the white horse. If you wanna ride, don't ride the white horse.
This is awesome.
It's such a good song.
White horse. Don't ride the white horse. White horse.
But this is the the entire song.
Okay.
Like, it just goes on like this for about five minutes.
Yeah, this is probably the best song for this story ever. You nailed it. I like it.
Oh, my God. That's great.
And then they were saying, don't ride the white horse. Yeah. Like, that's what they were
that's
trying to tell.
That's what the crowd was saying. Like, yo, don't ride that white horse.
Yeah, that's what the cops were saying. The city was made aware of an incident involving possible animal cruelty and a hazard to public safety, according to city manager Jimmy Morales in a statement. He says that he's disgusted and offended. Miami Beach Police has reported that they located the horse afterwards and have deemed it healthy and safe. So that's good. Didn't get hurt. The investigation will continue, and they will be pressing charges on who owned the horse, who transported the horse to the nightclub, and who was riding the horse. Yeah, they never caught the woman.
But wow. Wouldn't the lady be the one who transported the horse?
Yeah, she
by
rode it
riding,
there.
By
she
riding
actually,
the
she,
what? Hold.
Did she actually ride it from the, like, the stable all the I way to the...
She's like, I'm going clubbing tonight. Let me jump on my horse and go downtown.
I need my Lady Gaga horse, guys.
Yeah.
It must be quite uncomfortable to ride a horse in underwear.
Yeah, she's only in her underwear.
That's bareback for you.
Yeah. That literally... I think that's okay. That's A-okay.
Yeah. That's A-okay.
Yeah.
But I love how it says that they just walked away.
Yeah.
Yeah, just went off into
it
the
was
night.
Like, yeah, it was like they went in separate directions.
They walked into the club.
They made their peace and they left.
They freaked out and then they just left. The horse threw the woman off or...
Yeah, okay. In the club. Okay. She made it all the way into the club with the horse.
I guess the horse didn't like the music they were playing.
Maybe, you know. He's not a fan of laid back.
That was their entrance.
Yeah.
And then they're like, all right, we're done. See you later. Well.
But, yeah, true story there from Florida. That's...
Wow.
I don't know why you would bring a horse to a nightclub.
That was amazing.
Man, I hope these last two stories will...
I want to know how
am I going to need a song for these two as well?
Yeah, I don't know. Can you pull out some songs
we'll
for
see.
These
we'll
two?
See what I can do.
We'll see. We're leaving Florida. Let's go to North Carolina in our next story here. A North Carolina woman is jailed on multiple felony charges after she allegedly opened fire in a movie theater after a dispute over assigned seats at a screening of Black Panther.
What? I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Yes.
Wow.
Very violent, very fast.
Yeah.
Investigators allege that Shamika Latrice Lynch...
Oh, man. Like, that has to be her name?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm reading the news report here. Investigators allege that Shamika Latrice Lynch squabbled with other moviegoers at the midnight showing of Black Panther at a AMC theater during the dispute over seating arrangements for the superhero movie. 30-year-old Lynch pulled out a .32 caliber pistol, discharged the weapon inside the theater, and fired one round into the theater's ceiling. She thought,
there goes the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening now. While no one got hurt, Lynch has been charged with two counts of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, and also a third felony charge for discharging a weapon in an enclosure to incite fear.
Yeah.
Very specific with these charges.
I mean, wow. They probably came up with that stuff when people started shooting up movie theaters.
Yeah. But, yeah, really? You gotta do this over Black Panther.
Why are you bringing a gun to a movie anyway?
Yeah.
She's packing heat.
Just never know. There's not enough butter on her popcorn or something.
Or somebody's
in her seat.
That's crazy.
So... What, she couldn't get the person to get out of her
seat?
Well,
why can't the usher just...
Yeah.
Right. Is
that's
it there?
What the usher is for.
Yeah. You have the ticket.
Exactly.
It has seat six or whatever.
Right.
I have seat six.
Just go to whoever's in charge that night and be like, hey, manager, dude.
Maybe she had her ticket upside down and she thought it was a 9. And the other guy thought, yeah.
This whole thing.
This whole
it was just an upside down ticket.
She never learned how to read.
Like, wow, Black Panther spelled funny, but... Nobody bothered to turn the ticket around for her. It's actually a tragic story.
It is. I understand her plight.
The whole multiplex had to be evacuated. Lynch then surrendered to police and was booked into the local detention center where she's being held on a $250,000 bond.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't. Yeah, she's not getting out. She's not getting out.
$250,000.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
Well, I mean, that's because she proves pretty dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, we've had stories in the past, though, where people do crazy stuff, and it's like $700.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, really insane. Like,
I remember there was one time there was, like, a bond that was set at, like, $1,155.
Yeah, it was, like, really specific.
Yeah, like, how did you get to $55?
85 cents.
Yeah.
They must have an itemized list.
Is there, like, a menu that
it might be, yeah.
That you check off?
I think probably. That's what it is, yeah.
Well.
Wow.
Yeah. She needs some.
I think of all
management.
The people's movies that she ruined there.
Yeah,
I know.
Do you think the theater refunded their tickets?
I hope so.
No,
no,
they're too busy dealing with the crazy lady with a gun.
Well,
they don't got time for refunding tickets.
No.
Yeah. Like, everyone, get the hell out! Can we get our tickets back? No, just run. Just
and
run.
Could you imagine? Like, you would not want to go back in that theater.
No,
it's like, okay, now let's settle down and watch the movie. Every time something happens, and in Black Panther, there's a lot of stuff going on, yeah. So you're probably freaking out the whole time. Mm.
Yeah, she should not have gone that crazy.
No.
0 to way over 100. All right, I got one more story here for you. Going to New Mexico.
Okay.
I think it's been a while since we had a New Mexico story.
New Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time we went to New Mexico.
Yeah. See? Sound fancy when you say New Mexico.
You do, New Mexico.
New Mexico. Here's the story. After failing a drug test last month, a New Mexico woman claimed that she had been prescribed meth from her doctor.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah. I highly doubt this.
It's legal now in New Mexico. You didn't know?
Wow, I missed that bulletin.
And when the doctor prescribes you meth, he sends you to the guy on the street corner, not the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. 34-year-old Ginger Sharp was placed on probation. What?
She's real sharp.
Yeah, real sharp here. 34-year-old Ginger Sharp was placed on probation last year following a previous forgery conviction. As part of her supervision, she was required to submit periodic drug testing. In her recent drug testing, her urine came up dirty last month.
Dirty.
They couldn't. Come up with a better term than that. Her urine came up dirty.
That's what they call it in the news report.
That's awful.
Definitely not clean.
God, that's disgusting.
Absolutely not clean.
Is that the term? Like, not tainted? Or
I was just going to say, like, tainted or the test came back positive.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Her urine came back dirty.
Your urine is so dirty. Wait, I made that weird. All right, go
That's
on.
A weird testing center. Your urine is dirty. Dirty.
We know where you've been.
All right, that's a new quote.
I like it. So when her urine test came up dirty, she was handcuffed and detained for her probation violation. That's when she met her PO, our probation officer, and she told him that, quote, she was legally prescribed meth.
Yeah, I bet.
That's what someone on meth would say.
Because somebody who was charged for forgery would never lie.
Of course. She then pulled out an empty pill bottle from her bag, and on the bottle, it contained a fake label that, quote, that read, quote, methamphetamine 5-milligram tablets.
Wait, I may be dumb and not a drug addict, but isn't meth not in pill form?
Yeah, it's not. I highly doubt. And I highly doubt it would be, like, nice and convenient 5-milligram tablets.
Don't you have to, like, smoke it or something?
There are forms of meth.
He knows.
Yeah.
No, I...
Mike?
Your urine dirty?
Something you want to tell us?
My urine is always clean. I work for a pharmaceutical company, and they do have...
Meth tabs!
They do...
Meth tablets!
They do have. They do have drugs that have meth in them. As one of the ingredients.
Well, then maybe she was. What if she was right?
They're class 2 controlled substances, but I highly doubt that that woman had that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you don't just get prescribed that stuff. For what? What was she prescribed meth for?
Yeah. What's the disease?
Yeah. Why? Yeah. I mean, it's. She's obviously lying.
To lose her teeth and like
and they're
her
not called,
skin.
They're not just called methamphetamine.
Yeah, it would have some sort of corporate name by now.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of other words attached
Methylu
to it.
Or something. Like,
methylprednisone, methylphenidate, there's a lot of them.
He knows his drugs.
I do.
Yeah. Something you want to tell us over there, Mike?
Nope.
I'm impressed.
I work for a pharmaceutical company. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah. Just well, like she got prescribed meth.
Yes. Yeah. And her urine was dirty. Even though the label seemed off, the PO officer, Robert Vigil, actually released her from custody based on the story.
What?
I think this guy might need some performance
reviews.
No, I
think she's telling the truth. I really believe
her. The label was probably handwritten.
A subsequent investigation revealed that Sharp was not prescribed the fraudulent prescription. They decided to contact her doctor, Dr. Paul Mickelson, who said that, quote, "This is preposterous. I've never prescribed methamphetamine." And
disbarred. Oh, wait. Is that for lawyers? I don't think I said that right.
I think you doctors, you can disbarred.
I don't know.
You lose your license.
You lose your license.
That's what it is. You lose your license.
All right. Well, mine was quicker. So.
I liked it. I would have given you points.
Thank you.
According to the last medical report, Mickelson had only ever prescribed her the painkiller hydrocodone, ibuprofen, and promethazine.
That's still a lot of drugs.
But no meth.
Yeah.
No,
meth.
I mean,
you got a nice little concoction there. I don't know if
hydrocodone
really...
is still pretty.
Yes.
Apparently not enough. Because you need that meth.
You need that meth.
The meth brings it all together. You know?
Solid
what
meth.
Is it, like the salt you add to a meal to really bring out the flavor? Yeah. The meth is just that kick on top.
Instead of salt bay, it's
a
meth
dash
bay.
Of meth.
A dash of meth.
A nice little dash of meth. It would help you in your queries.
Chef Ramsay's like, and then to finish it off, just a small touch of meth.
Just a pinch of meth.
Yes.
To dirty up that urine.
Yes. To dirty up. Don't forget creme fraiche. He always puts that in, like, all his dishes. Creme fraiche.
He puts that in his scrambled eggs.
Yeah, he puts it in his scrambled eggs. Puts it in his meth. Yeah. Easy there. Anyway, when she was confronted about the medical report, that's when Sharp confessed that it was fraud and said that, quote, she had a friend made the prescription for her. She was charged with two felony counts of forgery and identity theft because she used Mickelson's name. So, yeah, she's going to get more serious charges.
Again, why would you trust somebody who was previously convicted of forgery? Like, that's the real issue there. She had been caught specifically for this type of thing before, and they're like, no, she's totally not lying this time.
Right. I'm going to believe the good in people starting now.
The drug bottle that says meth tabs on it.
Well, I'm not familiar, but maybe there could have been, you know, possibly. But there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news, the weirdest news that I can find that happened over the past week. But before we officially begin to wrap this week's episode up, I think it's time we introduce Nena to the ending portion of our show where we go over what lessons have we learned on this week's episode. So you ready, Mike? You got your lessons
ready?
Ready. All right. Time for what have we learned?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
There you go. So, Mike, what have you learned?
I learned that meth tabs are not a thing. It don't just prescribe them as little pills of meth. And the label doesn't say meth tabs.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, it does not, unfortunately. Something else I learned, thanks to Nena, is that White Horse was the perfect song for this odd news.
And an excellent song.
Yes.
It was oddly fitting.
That was the MVP moment. That was
listen to the extended version in your spare time.
There's an extended version.
It's like 7 minutes of that.
Wow. Yeah. Of just that same line
There's a little bit more. There's a little bit more.
Let's listen to it right now. I used all the time on my sound clips. Sorry.
Stupid quotes.
Sorry about that.
She's not a Christian. I learned that clip probably gets played more than it needs to.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's the great thing about having a third person on the show is that you always realize these little like things you do and you don't really step back and look at them. And then, you know, watching Nena react to the clips, I'm like, yeah, they are kind of long. It's like, yeah, we did just play that five times.
Never stop.
Mike's just used to it at this point.
You know, after 5 years, I'm just like, okay, whatever.
You guys are both having a great time, and I'm just like, what the heck is going on?
It's so true. We're both sitting here bobbing our heads and acting out the clips, and you're like, what is going
on? Why isn't this over?
Oh, my God.
Any other lessons?
Yes, yes. Oh. I learned there's a difference between simple, advanced, and expert battery.
There should be, yes.
I didn't realize that was a
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Simple battery is just punching a dude. Advanced battery is like throwing those combos. And expert battery is like fatalities in Mortal Kombat.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. You move on to the next round.
That's right. And finally, I learned that the three of us together could probably create a better Jewish-themed amusement park.
Yes.
Yeah.
Than the rabbis in Dimona, Israel.
Yeah, let's call them up. Fire the team that they got going. Yeah. We're going to save them
money.
We got this.
We got this, Dimona.
Yeah.
But are any of us Jewish?
No.
Yeah, neither am I. Well, so much for that.
Well, you know.
That's all right.
You got to have some outside help.
Exactly. Exactly. What did I say at the beginning of entertainment? We're consultants, right?
Right. We are
right.
Consultants.
Yeah.
So all
right.
There you go.
I like
on board.
That.
Yeah, we'll help out.
Let's do it. The Crispy Noodle Consultant Agency.
For podcasts and roller coasters.
And quotes.
We're there.
Those are our three specialties.
We're there on
people
the scene.
Like hiring our services. Like, how did you get roller coasters in here?
Somehow it all fit. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
So there you go. That's that's our quote.
The clips just keep
they
coming.
Keep coming.
I'm not
yeah.
gonna be able to sleep tonight. There's just gonna be like quotes in my head.
Just, they're all flowing in your
Where
head.
Where are the voices?
Well, the good news is we are coming up to the end.
Aww.
Yeah. But no, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
This has been a blast.
Yeah.
I would love to come back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, the door's open. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Always.
Absolutely.
Always. Yes. Well, thank you for coming on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Great call on the music, by the way. That was the MVP moment.
Yes.
I'm going to listen. I'm going to download that. Is it on Spotify? I'll put it on Spotify.
You'll 100%. If it's not on Spotify, just listen to it on YouTube over and over and again.
Let's rebel against
Spoken
Spotify.
Like somebody who's probably done that many a times.
I'm speaking from experience.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, Melissa. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
So you ready, Mike? Ready to wrap this one up?
Let's do it.
All right. It's been a blast. But unfortunately this week's episode is over. However, that doesn't mean that it's the end for the Crispy Noodle. You can check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure that you like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and you follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle. We always have interesting tidbits, some news, anything that comes our way that we think you should be in the loop about, we'll put it on our social media pages.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. We also have a page on SoundCloud where we have the promos that we play in between the breaks. So if you're interested on SoundCloud, check out that page as well for quick 2-minute promos that we do from each episode. You all right over there?
She's probably thinking those SoundCloud clips are just the sound clips.
Oh, no, they're not the sound clips. No, they're promos from each week. Like
it's just 2 minutes of our bumper music.
That over and over again.
It's like, here's the entertainment entree.
Over and over. No, it's not that. No, it's funny bits that we take.
Oh my god. That was great. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast, but if you guys want to get in touch with us personally on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on the Twitters. Do you have a Twitter? No?
No. The okay, last time I tweeted was the earthquake. That was 2012.
Oh. Okay.
There you go.
There's an earthquake in 2012?
Yeah. That was the...
I was on the beach and it moved.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah, no. I took a nap. I didn't even feel it. That was my earthquake experience.
That was your earthquake.
Yeah, great. So, anyway. The point is, you can find us on Twitter as well. But for now, I think that's officially going to wrap this week's episode up. We'll see you guys next week. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Aww.
Yeah, right? That's a nice little ending note. But that will wrap it up. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia. Okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.